Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
Good morning. The title of my lesson today is, What Can I Do to Help the Church? Of course, in our society today, when you say the word church, oftentimes people think of the building or of Sunday morning services. But, of course, the more accurate and biblical definition of the church is, of course, the people. The members of God's kingdom here on earth. Now, the scripture that was just read in Colossians has been described a couple of different ways. One description I saw was character of the new man. Another one was living the resurrected life. Now, I've noticed that oftentimes when the world today describes Christianity, they seem to tend to look at it from a negative point of view. You can't do this, or you can't do that. And now, as Christians, needless to say, there are certain things that we do need to avoid. But if we look at the message that we just heard in the third chapter of Colossians, we see that it focuses on positive actions that we can take as Christians. And he kind of sums it up by saying that, whatever you do, whatever it is that you do, we need to do it in the name of the Lord. So you may be asking yourself, well, I thought this lesson was about, ways to help the church, so, why are we talking about the characteristics of being a Christian? Well, I wanted to start with this passage because, for whatever reason, I think, when you ask a person, well, what can you do to help the church? Well, for one reason or another, sometimes we always don't have a ready answer for that. But if you ask me, what I must do to be a Christian, more often than not, we can find answers for that. But I think if you look at those two questions, you'll find that the answers to those two questions are very similar. Of course, the question that I have presented today is, very broad, and obviously I couldn't hope to give an all-encompassing answer in the time allotted. Therefore, I've narrowed it down to what I call the three P's, and that would be practice, participate, and persevere. Now, the first P actually has a second P that goes along with it, and that would be practice Christianity personally. Now, I'm sure we all heard lessons about, Christianity isn't just a Sunday morning thing, but rather, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you're working on your personal Christian walk, that helping the church is just going to become a natural extension of that. Now, a few practices should include, of course, praying regularly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us, pray without ceasing. Of course, thanksgiving is important. In Philippians 4:6 we read, and nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it may sound a little obvious, and of course, things are often easier said than done, but we need to strive to stay pure in our word and our behavior. As we're told in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And also in 2 Corinthians 1:12, we read, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in this world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly towards you. Now, of course, a key part of practice is, study. After all, without studying, you may end up practicing the wrong thing. If you were an NFL football player, for example, and you got traded from one team to another, the first first thing you do is you take that new playbook and start studying it. Because, you know, you don't want to show up for practice and not have any idea what's going on. So obviously, as Christians, in order to effectively help the church, we need to study God's Word. In Matthew 4:4, we read, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And also in 2 Timothy 2:15, we read, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Of course, another good practice is, visiting people, whether it be the sick or the elderly or perhaps shut-ins, or perhaps just a fellow brother and sister that needs some encouragement. After all, we're told in James 1:27, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Well, the second P is participate. Now, of course, one of the more obvious things that we can participate in is, of course, what we're doing right now, and that is services. And I did a little bit of math, and of course, if a person comes Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night, that's about 4 hours of your time. And there's 168 hours in the week. So if we're coming those three times, that ends up being about 2% of our time. And of course, someone may say, may point out, we really don't have control over that entire 168 hours. We have to sleep and work and whatnot. Well, even if you subtract, 8 hours a day for sleep and, 40 hours for, typical work week, that leaves 72 hours, which means if you spend 4 hours in service, that's still just about 5.5% of your time. So, obviously, I think as Christians, we can dedicate that 5.5% to worshiping God and uplifting one another. After all, in Acts 2:44, we read, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common." And in Hebrews 10:25, we read, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Of course, just showing up is just only part of it, obviously. We need to be willing and eager participants, willing to, whether it be singing, active listening, or taking the time to meditate on the things we hear. As we read earlier in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And in Luke 11:28, we read, "But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And in Philippians 4:8, we read, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Now, of course, worship is just, one of the many things that we can participate in. For example, we're always looking for teachers, right? And so, when I was preparing my lesson, my wife told me, you got to tell a story. Because, Herman tells stories, and we all know Herman's been preaching for 120 years or something like that, So, of course, Herman Pope, he's Pope, and I'm a priest, so I've got to follow example, right? So here's my story for the day, and that is, there was a person once, and, he didn't consider himself a teacher, it wasn't something that it was in his wheelhouse. But then one day he found himself in charge of education for the church. Well, of course, it wasn't long before he was signing up for classes. And, of course, what did he do? Well, he got material and he studied material, talked to other teachers, got tips from them, prayed a lot, of course, and then, took that leap of faith, started teaching classes, even though that wasn't something that, he felt comfortable doing. And, of course, before long, just like anything, you get better at it. And then now this particular person, he may never have became, the best teacher in the world, but, he filled that need. And, of course, for those of you who may have not figured it out by now, I'm talking about myself. And And I certainly don't tell this story to try to pat myself on the back at all. After all, you know, I'm just as much a sinner as anyone sitting out there in the audience today. But rather, I tell that story in hopes that will encourage you, you know, to encourage you to, you know, take that leap of faith. You know, do participate in something that maybe it's something you didn't always feel, you know, that you felt, you know, wasn't in your wheelhouse. But you know what? After taking that leap of faith and working at that, you find, you know, you may just find that, you know, you like filling that role, whether it be, you know, teaching or something else. And, you know, I know there's, and of course there's other opportunities to help out. You know, of course, you know, you got various youth activities, you know, such as LTC and, you know, the camp that's coming up. You know, we support, you know, missionaries. You know, we help out with the women's shelter. You know, there's, our annual coat drive. And, well, just for example, in regards to the coat drive, I know that there's, you know, some members in the church here who like to go garage sailing. And one of the things, one of the habits that they've gotten into is anytime they go to a garage sale, they look for good coats. And so they'll, you know, pick these coats up for a couple bucks and they'll, you know, donate them to the garage sale. I mean, to the coat drive. And of course, there are other various things that we can participate in or help out in. And I know there's a lot of people out there that help with various things that, you know, we may or may not know about. But, you know, the end result is, you know, the church is being helped out. Of course, now that being said, of course, there's always room for improvement, right? And, of course, the elders, you know, on several occasions, as you've probably heard, have asked for our inputs. And so if there's, you know, any needs that you see that isn't being met, you know, please, I'd encourage you to talk with the elders and see what we can do about meeting those needs. You know, after all, more often than not, you know, it just takes that one person, you know, that one spark to get that flame going. You know, I know many of the things I've already mentioned started with one person who had an idea, and they started talking to other people about that idea, and the next thing you know, that idea was turned into a reality. Now, my last P for today is perseverance to the end. Now, I think one of the best ways that we can do, one of the best things we can do to help us persevere is to, you know, look to our, for our fellow brothers and sisters to not just be, you know, acquaintances, you know, but to be, you know, true friends. You know, after all, if we're not seeking friendship, you know, among, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ, then, you know, that just leaves one other alternative, doesn't it? And we're told in James 4:4, it says, you know, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And in 1 Corinthians 15:33, we read, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Of course, we're also told in 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, of course, being true friends, you know, with our brothers and sisters, you know, needs to go beyond just, you know, spending some time with them and, you know, talking about, you know, worldly subjects. Rather, you know, we need to be willing to hold each other spiritually accountable. You know, discuss God and His Word. You know, actively pray for one another. In Malachi 3:16, we read, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened to them and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. And also in Acts 2:42, we read, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, it's probably not realistic, obviously, to be, you know, best friends with, you know, every single person in the congregation. But that being said, I'd like to encourage everyone to, and take the opportunity to, you know, kind of maybe get outside your, you know, normal circle of friends and to, you know, get to know the other members of the church as much as possible. After all, you know, you never know when those, you know, additional connections that you make with people, you know, could end up in you helping those fellow members of the church in, you know, ways that, you know, you maybe now you couldn't even have imagined. Of course, when it comes to perseverance, it's always good to keep in mind Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, and that reads, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Well, this concludes my lesson for today. And So what can I do to help the church? Well, I think part of that equation is to remember the three P's. Practice Christianity personally, participate regularly, and persevere to the end faithfully. So, there's been an invitation song selected, and we offer this time for you to come forward if you have any prayer requests, or perhaps there may be someone in the audience today who's not a Christian, and through the study of God's Word, you have determined that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to be immersed in baptism and rise out of the water a new person, a person willing to faithfully follow Jesus. Whatever your needs may be, we offer this time for you to come forward and as we stand and sing song 389.